This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Thank you all very much, and thank you for the invitation to reflect on this panel. After a few framing remarks, I will ask my panelists, so you can start thinking, based on your study, what new research questions do you have? What new studies do you think would be really interesting to do? Amy, you started that a little bit at the end of your presentation, and this will give you a few minutes to think about that. Ever since being invited to provide reflections on this panel, I've been incredibly anxious. Will I understand the science well enough to add value? Will I be able to articulate my understanding of what is presented without making such huge mistakes that one of you have to jump up and immediately correct me? So over the last few days, I reviewed the abstracts and PowerPoints of my co-panelists. I even Googled menopause and breast cancer and got 35 million hits. That wasn't very helpful. And I kept grabbing everyone I knew yesterday, including two of my co-panelists, and asking, what does this study mean? Then I had to remind myself that I'm not a scientist, and that's not my role on this panel. I'm an advocate and have spent my entire life advocating for women's rights, lesbian rights, and the rights of the poor and other disenfranchised groups. And for me, this is also personal. The picture on the left is of my cousin Nancy, who died a week ago after fighting metastatic breast cancer for over 12 years. She had just begun believing that maybe, just maybe, she had beat this. And the picture on the right is of my mother-in-law, Diane, who died in 2008 of a uterine sarcoma subsequent to 10 years of tamoxifen treatment following a breast cancer diagnosis. For all of us here, whether personally motivated, scientifically driven, or both, finding the answer, an answer, any answer, is so very compelling and important. I want to state out front that I love researchers. My wife is a researcher, and I think one of the smartest ones around. She's also chair of the Breast Cancer Action Board. So besides my own work with the California Breast Cancer Research Program, the Child Health and Development Study, and the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment, all programs filled with brilliant scientists, Tracy, my wife, and I talk about breast cancer a lot. And the researchers in this room are just simply the cream of the crop of breast cancer and the environment researchers. I have absolute respect for the work you do. I want my remarks to help move us forward in our joint quest. I spent most of yesterday, as I said, trying to figure out actually what was being presented. I actually had a little daydream that we figured out how to do simultaneous translation. All of us who don't fully understand science sitting with headphones listening to someone say, well, I think what she means is. And I was heartened yesterday to have several epidemiologists actually confide in me that they really didn't understand the basic scientists either. And I suspect the feeling was probably mutual. Last night, I asked Mary Beth and Amy to tell me what the results of their study mean in the larger context of our goal to find what the environment, what in the environment influences breast cancer risk. And one of them said, well, it sounds kind of simple, but the causes of breast cancer are really complex. And I realized in that moment that I'm not afraid of it being simple. I'm afraid of it being oversimplified. I want simple lay language, not because I think you know the cause of breast cancer, but have it hidden under words like fidelity and differentiation and mediating mechanisms. I want lay language because I want to be able to talk with you. I want to know what your study means, what your studies mean together, and where you think we should be going next. I know this is complex. I know because I live the complexity. I am an obese, hot-flashing, working-class lesbian who was raised in the pesticide-laden cornfields of the Midwest by parents who bought the Madison Avenue sales pitch of creating lives of ease and comfort through canned food, TV dinners, aerosol sprays, and cleaning products. I know I was raised in and am a Petri dish. And I know that trying to separate out my being bottle-fed from my mother smoking during pregnancy or separating my experience of homophobia from my diet is simple in understanding the complexity of homophobia, complexity of how those things might interact, and complex in understanding how we use science to find answers to the environment, to the environmental factors in breast cancer. So to my fellow panelists, in lay language, what do you think would be really cool to look at next?
I guess Amy wants me to start. So I'll say in the hormone therapy era, arena, I think we do need to separate the lean and the obese. I think that that's a really important one because if the risks really differ by those groups, then I think that's the idea that we're all the same needs to be, you know, teased apart. That said, I really found the data that Amy showed about the density, I think the breast density issue is such an important issue, and that's the same one in the hormone therapy world as well. And then the one other thing I'll say in the hormone world is, you know, we've been using these conjugated equine estrogens, which, you know, are not exactly, you know, normal for people. You know, there's like 20 different things in that, and that's what we're using. And so I think getting some better data on, you know, our endogenous estrogens or estrogens that are like our own estrogens, I think would really help us a lot.
Well, I guess I like I already said, I think it would be interesting to randomize women to behavioral lifestyle changes to see if we not only you'd have to consider whatever your environmental chemical of interest is, but if you're trying to avoid BPA, randomize women to avoid it and see what sort of health effects they are. Just because it's not ethical to give women these chemicals and administer them, that doesn't mean we can't be more creative in how we do studies to evaluate their health effects. So.
Right. Marge, that was terrific. Challenge to everyone in the room. I think in terms of our focus for the next period, groups like this are really exciting because it definitely has to be solved by not just one way of thinking and the collection of thinking. And I think in particular in breast cancer, unlike some other cancers which have very strong intermediate markers, we really have had difficulty in doing either these life course studies because the intermediate markers are not there yet and or thinking about intervention studies later in life. So now... we know more about breast density than we ever have, but we still need to know a lot more, and I think we need repeated measures of density where we can look at changes over time and really take what we know now but go back to the models of Pike from the beginning to really put it all together. And I think that's why groups like this, particularly with the high school students that can help us out through all of this, we can really, I think, for the first time appreciate the complexity, but presented in a simple way. So simple presentation, I agree with you, is always important. But I think in a lot of this, we've tried to simplify the message and not really appreciated the complexity of these different pathways.
Thank you. Terrific. Thank you, and thank our panel.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.